Lamb of God. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you for revelation of the power in the blood. Thank you for revelation of the power in your name, Jesus. Thank you for revelation of the power in your word. Thank you for revelation. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we honor you. Oh, we thank you. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is no other name, even among men, by which you must be saved. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Good news.
Yes.
Good news. In Christ, you can never lose a battle.
Yes. Right.
It's impossible.
That's right.
Because He has given us the victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is good. Sometimes you don't know what you have because we enjoy it all the time. But those that are not born again yet, they don't really know. They don't really know. You know, there are people that sleep at night. They go through this nightmare and this torment, and they don't know what to call it, who to call it. But I know some of us, when you call the name of Jesus, you find that that thing is lifted. What a privilege we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We are in some very amazing times. Amen. We are in some very tough times. We are in some very uncertain times in our nation. Amen. But this is the time those who know their God will do what? So this is not a time to share and to be talking about or to be running away or to be beating around the bush. Amen. This is a time that the word of God ought to be our hope, our anchor, our strength, our deliverance, our confidence. And so this is not a time to share flattering words, words that just build up the flesh. This is time to speak the truth in love and to bring understanding by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 God is good. Wow. There is victory in the blood. What I'm going to share with you this morning, I'm still going back to that victory in the blood before we move forward. It's still in my spirit. If you want to title it, it's for purpose of those who go online and our YouTube By the way, you can always go to YouTube and watch all these things that we've been recording, Facebook and all. You know, the church, we are now church without walls. Amen?
Amen.
God is opening the gospel to the whole world.
Amen.
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 So people need to know where to find us. Amen.
Amen.
So the topic, the title, or whatever, however way you want to remember it, it's called The Wise Understand. The Wise Understand. You see that in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 10. The wise will understand. The wise will understand. Amen.
Amen.
You know, just talking about the blood, you know, the power in the blood of Jesus. I don't understand all about it, why Jesus made that statement is quite very deep mystery, but I guess he was talking to the Jews. That might not be in context of you here or any of us. But he said a prophet is without honor in his own home, or will not be received in his own home. Now he's not talking about the church, but it's a statement that we must watch carefully. Just like what I'm saying about the blood now. We are so familiar. We are so blessed by it. We don't even have the mystery of the clue of the protection, the privilege, the sonship, the riches. What God is blessing us with that we don't even know. Angels around us that sometimes we just don't know how much we're taking this power lightly. But an unbeliever might not see the way we see it. An unbeliever might, when they run into this experience with Jesus for the first time, and they discover this blood, and that it will wash away everything they've done, and bring them into a new life, bring them into heirs. And I mean, when it's that fresh, there's something. This weight of the faith that ignites. Amen. So I pray that we just continuously ask that we don't become too familiar, but become grow in faith in what God has given to us through His blood. For example, I just remembered when the coronavirus was such a threat, was such a Goliath, intimidation and fear. Still on a little, you know, but people's mindset have shifted a little bit from it. But when it was very intense, was really heavy. It was one morning the Lord started dealing with me about this familiarity. He says, "What do you have?" You know, God told Moses, "What do you have in your head?" He said, "What do you have?" And when he reminded me of the blood, something exploded in my spirit. It's almost like you have something, but you don't know what that thing is supposed to do. And from that revelation and reminder came that word, "I have power over coronavirus." And when I shared that, for example, during that season, I encouraged people to come, call for prayer, and you know, most of course, people have more confidence, of course, until they really experience a miracle. They have confidence in what is more practical. But something happened, and that was a Passover, and now something is beginning to happen in this Pentecost. The Passover a lady had a dream, because at least God wanted me to know personally, not for anybody else, that the revelation is real. And if something is not tested, you cannot have confidence in it. No matter what it is, no matter head knowledge, no matter what, if it's not tested, you don't really know what you believe. So somebody had a dream and they saw me in that dream, and and they were going through this, what, when the fear of coronavirus, and you know you don't have cure, and you're in the position that you don't have an answer, then it will become reality to you. And that's where these people were. So they had this dream and they called, and they didn't get a hold of, they didn't find me, so they called Keziah. And Keziah came and told me, you must call this person now. This was going on. So I called this person, I said, tell me what's really going on. And the person told me the story, that he had his dream, and I was in the dream, and he said, I came to the house and prayed for her and some other person that was dead, and both of them got up. And one thing I learned from that was, this season we are in, please always remember, we've been saying it, but it's becoming so true to me. It is a season, a time of the Holy Spirit. Man is over. This is God's time. And God is already doing something, and he's going to keep doing it until people become aware of him in a very big way. The Holy Ghost time has come, and he is moving. So that's when they said, that's something God wants to do. Amen? That's something the Holy Spirit wants to do. And like Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father do. My Father walk and he did my work. He says, so it's the Holy Spirit that wants to do something, and he just wants to use me to pray. Amen?
Amen.
So I told her about this blood, that we have power over coronavirus. And I shared a little bit what we shared here that morning. She said, people have sent me things from WhatsApp, things I should do. She has tried all kinds of, drink this, mix this, drink that, drink this. She's tried all the things people were recommending to her. She didn't want a lot of people to know. And by the way, somebody else she knew, a pastor, died of the same thing a week or two after, of this same coronavirus. So she says she's tried everything. And as I was talking to her, she didn't really have breath. She says sometimes she can breathe. It was everything they described as intensity of it was happening to her. She was coughing heavily when I was talking to her on the phone. She says she doesn't want to tell a lot of people, so she doesn't, and she can't go to the hospital. So there was no solution. And God gave her that dream. So I told her, it's the Holy Spirit that was in touch. So we prayed. I spoke what I spoke about the blood. And 2 days or so after she called, she was already feeling normal. I didn't put much emphasis to it. Until much later, it was like, I forgot about it, but she became completely healed. She called her landlord. Her landlord had it. The landlord's wife had it. The 2 people in her home had it. The prayer was done for her and the 2 in her home. Called her landlord. None of them has that now. That was Passover. God is still moving.
Yes.
For those that are desperate.
Yes.
That's Passover. Maybe, I don't know, the Spirit of God is just going this way. But there's power in the blood. It is not an imagination. It's a reality. It's a victory over Satan and everything. As we entered into Pentecost, after I've not really shared two visitations on Pentecost, Saturday morning and Sunday. Sunday morning here. I've shared a little bit with you. One of the things the Lord spoke to me when he said he would visit this Pentecost, he says, I will bless you. And I always look for spiritual blessings, because I know it rules over every other thing. And one of that blessing came. The Lord showed me something and told me, you're entering into that expectation. With time, I can give more details. I took it that way because it was just through revelation and scripture. I started thanking God for it. And then the night, of course, that's the part I'll get into very soon. And I had a vision of the president about what is coming to the nation. I really believe God has blessed Mount Zion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I didn't think anything about that blessing the Lord said, but all this other, the area I was looking at was more what is happening in the nation, in alignment with what the Lord is revealing. If you don't believe a nation is shaking, hopefully you'll believe it soon, if these two things are not enough. And this Pentecost, after the Pentecost Sunday, the next week, as we were talking about praying and sharing, I got a text from somebody I've not seen in a long time. They used to be with us when we were at TLR building. A wonderful family there. A lot of them used to come together and they were families. And she sent a text. She said, My brother's wife, that's my sister-in-law, is going through some weird stuff and we don't know what to do. Please, can you call her? Can you pray with her? They don't know how to explain weird stuff, but they know something was happening, calling weird stuff. So I couldn't call her the first day. I was praying again. I found that in this season, when it says it's the Holy Spirit time, you don't just do things on your own. So all along I just praying, God, I don't know what to do. Show me. What do you want to do? When do you want to do this? So I did pray the first day. The next day, the Lord put in my heart, okay. I saw the text, reply them that you call them and pray with them. So I called, I replied. And when I called this lady, her name is Abby. The sister-in-law was the one that texted. I called Abby. And when I called her, she was like so excited. She was like on fire. She was so desperate. And she said, Pastor Michael, we've not seen for a long time. She went on, and then she said, I don't know what's going on, but I love the Lord. I trust God. I'm now baptized in the Spirit. But something is happening to me. I can't explain it. It's affecting my body. It's affecting so many things. We don't know what's going on. And it's just weird. So I said, okay. She went on and on. But she said, I want more of God. I love God. But what is this? So when she finished, as she was talking in my heart, I was waiting, listening to the Holy Spirit. Because this is his time. And as he was finishing, all of a sudden, it's like the Spirit of God put in my heart, before we do anything, I want us to go through a time of repentance. Let's just repent of anything that has opened the door, anything that has happened, anything that has opened the door for this or whatever is going on. So I shared with her how to repent. I said, say, Father, forgive me any door I've opened. I prayed with the blood, did everything. As soon as I've been saying, you want me to pray that? And I said, yes. She started. She was hungry. She was desperate. And she started crying out in repentance. And repented before I even started getting into the prayer. She started screaming, "I have my breath, I have my breath, I have my breath, I can breathe." And she started talking. I mean, I feel better already. I feel better. And this is a very serious situation that the Holy Spirit was touching. I feel better already. I feel better. I'm sharing this testimony because God is moving. I feel better already. I feel better already. And then I said, "Okay, can I pray?" And I said, "Yes." And I started praying. I just prayed what the Spirit put in my heart. As I was praying, she didn't even let me finish. She started screaming, "I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. I feel better. It's gone. I feel good. Oh my God." She started crying really uncontrollably. Gaps, you know how those kind of cry that goes from your God. Oh, it just, crying. I mean, oh my God. Crying so heavily. It was cries of joy. And she continued, she kept worshiping the Lord, giving God glory, giving God praise, thanking God, magnifying God. I said, "You know what? The Spirit of the Lord has taken over you. I must leave. But before I leave, what is going on?" She said, "Whatever it is, I am free. It's gone. I can feel it. I feel really good." And then two, he says, "I have been deaf. Something beat me, I don't know when, but since then I've been deaf and my ears have opened." And she was crying, "I can hear, I can hear, I can hear." It just happened last week.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I just wanted to let you know the Spirit of the Lord is doing something. You know, the disciples, when Pentecost started, from the Pentecost, they prophesied, they preached, a lot came to the Lord. But the first miracle they saw was on their way to prayer. And the lame man at the gate called beautiful. Jesus' first miracle, after the Spirit came upon him, he came out of the wilderness 40 days, went home. If you look at it, I mean, he took 40 days, of course, he's refreshed. He did things, he went, before he was invited to a wedding, and went to a wedding. All this took time. And it was the wedding, the book of John said, the turning from water to wine was his first miracle. So let's not take lightly this season we're in. Amen?
Amen.
I just shared that to let you know. A deaf person just started hearing. Mm-hmm. And it was no effort. Amen. Now, I want to share with you the wise will understand. So many words have gone out of this house, so many messages that you all know we're familiar. Sometimes when we see it with our eyes and it's happening, our mind can get familiar to what's going on and we forget we're living in a prophetic time. So as Daniel was crying to God, God was showing him all these things and he was saying, "God, when, how, this, that." God says, "Daniel, you've seen enough. The rest is closed until the time." And he says, "The wicked will continue to do wickedly. But the wise will understand." Jesus told that parable, he said, about 10 virgins. And he says, there was something peculiar about the 5 wise. And he talked about that. The Bible says that Joseph, in a time when the king Pharaoh was shaken by something that was to happen, that Joseph had understanding of interpretation. When it was interpreted, the king says, can we find anybody wise? That's wise to establish this. Who else? If God gave you, then go ahead. What am I trying to say? They were looking for a person with wisdom, spiritual wisdom, gift of wisdom. And they said, Joseph, you can do this. The wise will understand. Ecclesiastes says it was a very great fortified army that came against a small city. They had everything, but in that small city was a very poor, wise man. And that wise, poor, wise man gave them strategy to defeat this great army. And he says that poor, wise man was not remembered. But this wisdom gave them victory. Understanding and wisdom is required as we design the times. Amen?
Amen.
This is a familiar word that you all know. But this word came in a time of crisis. There's a young lady grew up under Mordecai, and all through her life went through different process until she ended up in the palace of the king of Persia as a queen. All this while, she didn't know what was in her, and she didn't really understand her destiny, but she'd been prepared for it. It was in the time of the greatest crisis Israel had, and as they heard the decree go forth, Israel was melted. There was tears all over. People were in misery. People were looking at their future, no future. They were looking at a dead end. The decree has gone forth and can never be reversed. They will be wiped out. They will be destroyed. And the news is everywhere. So he says, everywhere the Jews were, there was cry. Mordecai rent his clothes. But I want you to see this. Mordecai went to Esther and he sent this word. He says, it's very possible you were born for such a time as this. Amen?
Amen.
I want to announce to you, my dear brothers and sisters, by virtue of the bond that God has made us a family, a church, a people, I want to encourage you and I want you to know you were born for a time like this. You were born for such a time as this. There are things that mark and give wisdom, understanding to people that are born for such a time as this. When others are running away from problems, they are bringing solutions. When others are terrified and afraid, they are standing in the presence of the Lord and they are standing to bring hope when there's no hope. They are standing to bring encouragement when there is discouragement. They are standing to bring solution when there is crisis. That's why God prepares his people for times like this. Amen?
Amen.
You are born for such a time as this. Amen. Let me just briefly go through why this message today for us. Let's open to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 verse 36. Jesus was talking about the coming of the Lord.
He says, but of that time an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then he gave us a very practical, very clear thing to watch for, to study carefully and watch for. He says, this is God speaking in the flesh. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me read really quickly another scripture here in the book of Peter, Second Peter chapter 2. It says, for if God, from verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, we will not go into all the details of the days of Noah, but there's a few things I just want to bring to our attention about the days of Noah. Noah was called in Genesis chapter 5, the last verse, when he was 500 years old, and God started revealing to him his calling and his assignment. From chapter 6, God started speaking to Noah about that generation. And then God started speaking to Noah about what will happen in that generation. And then Noah God started telling Noah what it would take to redeem that generation. And then God gave Noah the assignment. Amen? So two things here. Noah had a calling, and the atmosphere of his generation was revealed to him. And then I read it to you in Peter's, Noah started preaching the very message God gave him to that generation for repentance. So Noah had the initial time of preaching to that generation, sharing with that generation, and calling that generation back to God. Then there is the latter part of Noah's assignment. So there is the early part and there is the latter part. The early part was Noah as a preacher of righteousness, calling that generation back to him. In Genesis chapter 7, the Bible now says Noah finished the ark. God called him, and God gave him. Now, the first time God called him, Noah preached, you never hear anything anymore. Then when the ark was ready, now God visited Noah again and now told him, this is what you're now to do in your latter part. Amen?
Amen.
And gave him a new assignment for the latter part of the move of God. And then God told Noah, as part of this latter move, you are to enter the ark, for the season for what I'm about to do is come. And in 7 days, I'll begin to do that. Amen?
Amen.
through the Bible, especially in the book of Ezekiel chapter Isaiah 61. Jesus quoted it, and in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me." Verse 2 says, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the favor of the Lord, and the year of the vengeance of the Lord." But when Jesus came the first time, he fulfilled the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Then he says, "I will come back again." And that's when the disciples started asking him, "Give us signs of when you come back again." Amen? That's the latter part of his coming to the earth. He came the first time, fulfilled something, died as a lamb, left. He says, "I will come back again." So, and he told them, they said, "How do we know about your second coming?" And he gave them a sign. We'll get to that very soon. But let me talk about the days of Noah really quickly. The first calling of Noah was to speak and preach to that generation. Noah preached for almost an interval of 100 years, pleading with that generation, speaking to that generation, calling that generation, pleading with that generation. But you know what happened? They did not repent. Amen? God, why God was, the Bible said the long suffering of God waited because he didn't want any to perish. But why that was happening, God already knew their heart. So God told Noah to prepare a redemptive process to redeem that generation. Amen? And that was the latter move. So my brothers and sisters, then when Jesus says the days, the last days, before the coming, before the shakings, before the appearance of the Son of God, before we leave this world, first by rapture, and when it comes, he says it will be like the generation of Noah. It will be a generation that are oversaturated with the preaching, and they will still remain worldly. Amen? Amen? But God says, like the days of Noah, I will prepare a way of escape. I will make a way for this generation to be redeemed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Before my coming. So this is what, so when Noah, the ark was ready, God told Noah, the early part of the move of God was preaching. So you don't need to hide in the ark. I'm saying something really deep here. Then Noah preached after 100 years. Now look at the latter part of the move. God says, this latter part of the move, everybody needs to get in the ark. What are the differences? The first move, God used Noah as his mouthpiece. He used Noah to preach righteousness. He was an oracle of the purpose, the plan Noah was sharing with them, everything that he received from the Lord. And then the ark was ready. This second move, God says, Noah, you're not going to preach. You're going to enter into your rest. The seventh day. What is rest? Noah has labored almost 100 years and built an ark. Now it says, enter into that and rest. And Noah entered into it. And it says, from the moment Noah entered into that ark, Noah was no more in control. Amen?
Amen.
And then God started preaching. What is the preaching? There are two evidences of every move of God. One is favor, the other is vengeance. Every first move of God is always the favor and the mercy and the favor of God, the acceptable year. God will move that way. But then, when generations come that have completely become obstinate, backsliding, and completely like the days of Noah, reject God completely, the only way God will redeem, because God is always about redemption, and I want to explain it to you, is to lift the atmosphere, remove that mercy covering, that favor, and stand here. Let me explain it to you. To stand here, Stephen, please stand here. Just to give you an example. This is God's mercy and favor. This is God's vengeance. Amen? God always begins with favor, acceptable year. Receive. God has forgiven you. God is calling you to repentance. Go back, turn away from your wicked ways. Come to God. Come into His mercy. Come into the provision of heaven. Come into forgiveness. Come into the love of God. Come into all that God created you for, what God planned for you. That's always what God starts with. But while God is doing that, His favor is over everything. His favor is all over everything. His mercy, that's the season of favor. He won't do anything. Of favor. Now, when a generation rejects Him, if you read that place I read in Peter, you see generations that rejected Him. What happened? He didn't spare angels. He started with angels. Then he went to, then he goes down to Sodom, goes down, down. Goes to Israel, eventually. He gave them long time. So now, when he's preaching favor, come, I love you, come, you know, all this stuff. And they reject his favor, which is his mercy, which whatever it looks like in that generation. God is still covering them. His long suffering still over the wicked. But when the time comes, the ark is ready. That they've expired His mercy. What God does now is, God steps aside. His mercy is still here. Amen. The ark. Amen. Amen. The blood is still available. The salvation is still there. But what it is now, God takes away His protection. When He takes away His protection, that's when evil begins to take place. The Bible says God builds this world on the foundation of righteousness. The reason for earthquakes or pestilence, famines, and all this, if you look at the life of Israel, it's always when sin has taken over and they rejected God and God steps back. Amen? And then the enemy steps in. And then things begin to happen. That's why he says use the wicked. Things begin to happen. Study your Bible. Things begin to happen. And when things begin to now happen, that's when he calls it vengeance. Amen? Amen? So when things begin to happen, one thing I have noticed and I've studied, and it's all over the Bible, I've seen it happen to me. God will ask me to do something. Sometimes I will forget or I ignore it. It's when it's really now hitting me hard, I'll remember and go do it. Human beings by nature sometimes walk under pressure, under purification. So that generation of Noah, the only redemptive point, God lifted His mercy. That's basically what vengeance or judgment is. God's mercy is set on this side. So what did God do? This is now the ark. God took His hands off the world and put it around the ark. Says, everybody now that wants me, I have been covering you, I've been there for you, but you rejected me and the time has expired. Now my mercy is on the ark. And they lifted. And guess what? Sin shakes the foundations of the world. It displaces it. Things that are happening, the flood, everything God talks about started happening. Guess what will happen at that time? That's when those who now, their flesh and this world has held them captive. That's when everything that they are holding to breaks apart. Guess where they run to? To mercy. Guess where they run to? To favor. Guess where they run to? To the ark. That is redemptive. And that's only redemptive for people of the days of Noah. So, God is still making a room for escape. Amen?
Amen.
So, in the days of Noah, that's what happened. God made a way. As things were happening in the earth, they were running to the ark. But unfortunately, in their time, it was late. Amen? Stand where you are just a minute. Now,
example to clarify this for you is the prodigal son. As long as the prodigal son was in the father's house, no matter what he did, he was okay. But then he was saying, Father, it's now about me. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to, everything that is right in my eyes is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it. You just bless me. Disconnect. The prodigal son left and entered into his own lifestyle. He was out of the father's umbrella. And guess what happened? Vengeance. Things started happening here. He started losing things because the enemy does not love you. He appears like he does until you leave God and you find out who the enemy is. In that situation, everything happened to the prodigal son under this atmosphere of vengeance. Vengeance pretty much means, or judgment means, away from God's protection. Guess what happened to him? Everything went bad. And guess what happened when he finally came to his senses? Where did he go to? To mercy. To mercy, the throne of grace. To his father's house. Where there's provision. Where there's love. Where there's everything, protection. He came. His father did not condemn him. He said, you've been sinning. You've been doing this. He's now back home. That is the mercy of God. That is the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
But how did he come? How did his salvation work? He came through the fire. Came through the fire. Some are saved by fire. Now, what the Lord is showing me is this. Jesus says, as the days of Noah, so shall this day be. So, in Matthew 24, Jesus 24:8, this is what Jesus said. They were asking, show us a sign. What would it look like? He gave all this illustration, but he said one thing that really seated in my spirit forever. And it makes it so clear to me every day of my life. And that's why I repeat it until people understand it. It says, it will come like the bud pains, the woman in bud pains. He gave that illustration. So basically, what does that mean? It means that the generation we're living in will be like the days of the generation of Noah. Amen? But this time it's not a physical Noah. It's not a physical ark. Amen? It's not just like that time. Now is the time of Christ. So what is Jesus done here? Jesus came, shed his blood. Amen?
Amen.
Open the door for the throne of grace. Psalms 91, he says we can come to that secret place, that holy of holies. Amen? By his blood, to receive forgiveness, coming under his, you know, those the righteous call on the name of the Lord and they are saved. Amen? So see this as the mercy of God, the throne room, the love of Jesus, everything that Jesus represents. He says, in the last days, many will become lovers of themselves. You all know all that Paul talks about, all that will cause them to fall away, and the world here. So Jesus says, this is what will happen to them. Before I come, no matter the preaching, what will happen before I come will be a shaking. There will be a shaking. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's how that move will start. Like a woman in birth pain. So, some are already in the ark, isn't it? No ones are in the ark and all the family. Some are, we're all born again, isn't it? Those of us that are born again were in the ark. We are saved, we're in the ark. But it says there will be this generation that will reject Christ, reject everything God is. My brothers and sisters, I don't need to repeat to you the condition of our generation. I don't need to repeat to you what we are living in right now. I don't need to repeat it. You see it, you know it, see what's happening. So now, without going into all the details that we all know just for today, the shaking has started. Amen?
Amen.
It says it will begin to shake the nations. And then, talked about, and then my glory will manifest. The book of Malachi says there was a time that Israel was going through something, and it says those who feared the Lord, they focused on the Lord and kept their mouth. But others were, what use is it to serve God?
And the Bible says, God wrote the book of remembrance. It says, in the day I will do this, there will be a separation between those who are righteous and those who are not, those who fear God and those who don't. Amen? Amen. And then when God started, Malachi 4, it says, the day will come that will burn like fire. Amen? And then he says, as it burns like fire, the wicked will become like ashes. He says, but those who fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness shall what? Arise. But what did he start with? He started with fire, the purifying fire. A woman does not allow, the baby never comes out before the birth pain. That's why I said, have you seen anything like that? Will the baby come before the birth pain? He says, no. But as soon as the birth pain starts, the move of God has started. Then the glory will be revealed. Amen? Amen. So all through the Bible, you see those patterns. God will start his shaking, and then the glory is there. In also in the book of Habakkuk. So what is happening now is, I just want to confirm what you already know. We're not prophesying this time. It's what you know. The birth pain has started. God has shaken the nation after Israel has become a nation 70 years after. And every one of us in this room has witnessed something no other generation in our time has through the coronavirus. We saw it. And while it was on, we keep saying here, we've shared it, that America is this birth pain place. And then more shakings are coming, and more will come because it's a birth pain. Right, even before the uprising started, we are still in the COVID shaking. Amen.
Amen.
The ark is ready. Unlike the ark of Noah, that is physically shut, this ark will not be shut until Jesus comes in the air. So what God is doing now is, God is prepared, the message has gone forth, the message is still going forth, the great ingathering, the greatest ingathering of souls men have ever known. We're about to witness it. But how is God going to do it? It will come through shaking. This generation like Noah, they've heard and heard. And there are also people in church, they are now born again. Amen? The Bible says the children that were born in the wilderness, they were not circumcised before they entered the promised land. There are people in church, but they've not really experienced true encounter salvation with Christ. So this shaking is checking everybody's heart. Are they in the ark? Because you're in the ark, you cannot be shaken. You cannot be moved. That's evidence that Christ is there. The first thing God did through the shaking, exactly when he said, judgment will begin at the house. For the first time in the whole world, the church has been uprooted. The church is under severe shaking. I don't know if you're thinking about, look at where we're having service. It's no more about the building. It's about Jesus. And it's about what God is doing in the last days. God wants to reach billions of people. And the church has been stuck in the four walls of a building, and billions of people are stuck in the web. So what is God doing? The first thing he has to do with the shaking was shake the church. What is he shaking the church? To shake away things that are not God. To shake away traditions and systems that serve their purpose. And to cause the church now to look to the Holy Spirit for the direction and where the Holy Spirit and how he wants to move and where he's moving.
Yes.
A lot of people still don't understand God is moving because they're looking at how he started the book of Acts. The book of Acts started with Jesus on the cross. That's the birth pain. Jesus said it. By the time they got to the book of Acts, they are already experiencing the glory. But we're in the last days. Amen?
Amen.
The shaking has started. Judgment will begin at the house of God, Peter said.
Ezekiel said, and it already began. Do you know how many people right now, mega church, small church, whichever church, that a lot of people are afraid? Afraid. The fear in the world is still the fear in the church. This shaking has begun, but it has begun with the church. So now it's shaking the church. Guess what? It's shaking the nations. It's shaking the world. It has already begun. Amen?
Amen.
But because of some of the things I've been telling you, or you can go read that, watch my book, America is the center of the birth pain. And that's where we are. So some major things are coming. But just to show you, there's a momentum of birth pains. Here is an uprising. The enemy took over somebody. You know, the world can look at it differently, but we look at it from the spiritual eyes. Only a spiritual force, only a demon can take over somebody to do what caused that death. Knowing this atmosphere is charged. Knowing exactly, spirits know the season we are in and zeroed in on it. And guess what? The fire exploded. Amen? And the fires exploded, and an innocent situation that can be used to correct things that have happened for years is now being hijacked to cause a major, major, major butt pain in the nation. And this happened on Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
So something is, butt pain is taking place. I don't know, some people will tell you the COVID is great. From some people's view, what is happening now is even worse. Depends on where you're seeing it from. If it's not worse, you will not override COVID to do this. So it's equally, these are major butt pains happening in the nation right now. If you're the president, you will know you are under serious butt pain. Maybe you don't carry the weight. You don't even have a clue what the government is going through. America is divided. America is in crisis. One has not finished, the other one came. That's how butt pain is there. And they build. And then in the midst of two of them are now working together. The COVID is not finished, it's coming up, and then the uprising is taking the next turn. And then another thing is coming. And the worst is not come yet. Warning you. Why am I saying this? God said it will take this kind of shaking. I just gave you an illustration to bring people here. Because like the days of Noah, they are already married to their own mindset. They are gods on their own. It doesn't matter. It's a presence. God says he will shake kings and leaders. He will shake because God cares about everyone getting into this ark before it takes off.
Amen.
Jesus.
So, this is how this move of God has started. People are going to come by the fire to the ark. And those who are already in the ark, God is going to start using them to carry the same glory in the place of miracles and stuff. But the shaking is going to intensify before God will start revealing a greater glory, so that people will be running. They will see the glory more and run to. So that's where we are. That's what is happening. Now you can say that. Thank you. Mount Zion, the reason the world is sharing all this is because I can't imagine Joseph afraid when the wind of famine came. There was no fear in Joseph. I can't see Noah afraid. He was prepared for it. He was in the right place. I can't see any of these people afraid. I can't see fear in them. Because God prepared them for such a time as this. Mount Zion, you're prepared for this time.
Amen.
Corporately, Mount Zion is prepared, but individually, you have to ask yourself where you are.
This house has been prepared. And the harvest that is going to come, that's, some are going to come this way, some are going to come see the miracles. That family I talked about, they are eager to reconnect, but I'm just, where I am today, I'm not seeking for. I want God to do his own thing. People that God will bring now, they will come with your heart, they will come with passion, they will come sold out to God, not to a building, not to a program, not to anything. It will be them, a radical encounter with Jesus. Those are not people you're going to be begging, it's time to do this, it's time. No, they go after God. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is the season of the Holy Spirit. It's a hard work to disciple people that I know really have encounter with God. It's too much. When people are in love with God like you all are, you don't need to be told in your house to pray. Spend time in prayer. Read the word. You don't need to be pressured. Amen? So, as we round up, I want to read this scripture to you in the book of Luke. I want to repeat it again to you. We'll share more about what does the act look like in our time, not today. But this word keeps coming to me in Luke chapter 21 as a solution. First of all, verse 34, Jesus says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. It is of no idea for many. For as a trap or snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." But what did he say? "Watch you therefore." That word "watch" is awake in Greek. Stay awake. Spiritually awake. "You therefore," and pray always. This is what Jesus says. "That you may be counted worthy to what? Escape all these things that shall come to pass." That word "escape" is not the escape that you know about. It's not the escape that you're running for something. It's the escape that you are positioned to be victorious. You are positioned to be a solution. The word "escape" is exactly the position of Noah or the position of Joseph in the time of shaking. Amen?
Amen.
So why are we saying this? I am pleading to Messiah. This is the time to engage God. This is the time, make room for God. My brothers and sisters, please make room for God. As I'm talking to you, I know people who were shaking to their roots during the coronavirus. I know people who are worrying about, I don't think, if you really know what's going on in America now, you'll be worried, but not, you'll be concerned, but not worried like the world. The nation is falling apart. If you think it doesn't concern you, wait until the economy collapses. Wait until other things collapse. If your confidence is still in the system of this world, you're in trouble. Your confidence should not be in the ark. Why, God, you do what you're doing right now? Should be in Jesus. Should be in Christ. Anything you do now should be partnership with God. Things are falling apart. The nations are not going to gather the pieces very soon. Only God will establish that which is of him. And this is the time to stand. And after doing all, stand. How can you stand if you are in the presence of the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
As much as, I'll be honest with you and I close, as much as I see all this is happening, and as much as I see the shaking, I'm not looking at it with human eyes. I'm seeing it with a redemptive eyes. That God is not willing that any should perish and go to hell. I would rather, Jesus says, to lose the whole world and my soul make it for eternity with God, than to worry like Lot's wife about losing material things and become a pillar of salt. This is God's time. Let it register in you. Man's time is over. I pray you get this. Our time, the time for man to do what they like is over. That's the purpose of the shaking. This is time to ride the wave and enjoy it with God. I tell you, my flesh fears and worries, but my spirit, I feel like an eagle. I'm excited about this season. For what reason? To see people come to God. To see people come to God. And you've been begging, begging, begging. And they are coming. A lot are coming already. The buildings can't continue. And that's why God says, develop enough network to feed these people across the world. Because there will be too much to manage. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm excited. But we have to watch and pray. Don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid of what is coming. God is bringing solution. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And God has a solution. Please, again, don't fear what you see. God has it in control. Just be on his side. Amen?
Amen.
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 Father, we thank you. We honor you. There is nothing new under the sun. You have done this through history. We're just privileged to live in a time like this. Father, what a privilege. Father, keep us in the ark. Position us in the ark. And make us a solution. The door will be opened as people come. Until you come for us. Your ark is open. Your mercy will be extended. Your grace is extended. Father, will bring your people to you. Let the fearful turn to you. Let the heartbroken turn to you. Let the captive turn to you. Let the prisoner turn to you. Let the protesters turn to you. Let the presidents turn to you. Let the governments turn to you. Father, many are scratching their heads. They don't know what to do. Let them turn to you. Let the church turn to you. And have your way.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.